of the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 283. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Go Patriots! Go!
And Fozzie.
That's disgusting. I'm so sorry you had to hear that.
Jeff.
I am slightly less sober than the first episode, or the last episode, or, yeah, a week ago.
Oh, God.
A week ago. He's been drinking all week long.
I'm getting drunker.
And Don, who is still sober.
Still sober.
Hey.
Oh, you poor bastard. I hope you at least got tacos.
No, I didn't get that either.
You didn't get anything.
No, I didn't get it. I had a much better. I had eggs and toast. And
that sounds
browns.
So much better than tacos.
It was delicious.
Your life sucks, dog. Damn it.
We're going to run down our category awards that we selected last week, as per Jeff's request. Best looking was Rise of the Tomb Raider, followed up by The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt and Ori and the Blind Forest. Best story went to Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, followed up by Tales from the Borderlands and Until Dawn. Best multiplayer went to Halo 5 Guardians, backed up by Rainbow Six Siege and Rocket League. You know, that one still hurts, Jeff.
Yeah,
it's been hurting him for a whole week now.
The most Tony game of 2015 was Total War Attila, because it has a funny name, according to Jeff. Followed up by Galactic Civilizations 3 and Wars of Napoleon. The most improved sequel was Guitar Hero Live. Followed up by Witcher 3 and Destiny the Taken King. Biggest surprise was Rocket League, backed up by Until Dawn and Guitar Hero Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Most disappointing was Rory McIlroy, PGA Tour.
Stupid game.
Followed up by Tony Hawk, Pro Skater 5, and Star Wars Battlefront. The most Jeff game of 2015 was Tony Hawk, Pro Skater 5.
Yeah.
Followed up by Splatoon and Rise of the Tomb Raider. The most broken game at launch was Batman Arkham Knight on PC, followed up by Tony Hawk and Galactic Civilizations 3. The five games that we wish we got to play but didn't: Don said Rise of the Tomb Raider, Jeff said Xenoblade Chronicles X, Fozzie wants to play the last four games of Life is Strange, the last four episodes.
Yeah.
Tony said Just Cause 3, and I said Super Mario Maker. The best couch-friendly game was Rock Band 4, backed up by Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes and Disney Infinity 3.0. The Fozzie Bro game of 2015 was Halo 5 Guardians. Everything comes back to Halo.
Yes.
Followed up by Call of Duty, Black Ops 3, and Battlefield Hardline. The best remaster remake was Rare Replay.
Yeah.
Backed up by The Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask 3D, and Resident Evil HD. And the best Don game of 2015 was Rainbow Six Siege, followed up by Need for Speed and Battlefield Hardline. And now we are on to our top tens.
Oh, boy.
Ah.
Terrifying.
Who wants to kick it off?
Not me.
Nice.
You still writing your list over there?
Maybe.
I'll go first.
All
I'm
right.
Good with it.
Tony's up.
All right, number 10. So I had a hard time with the number 10 spot in my list.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I had an easy time coming to the top 9, but putting a game into my top 10, I feel like, makes it worthy of recognition. And there were a bunch of games I played this year that I didn't want to recognize. Like, I felt like the best of the last remaining games was Batman, which I was not impressed with, and I just don't think it should be in any list whatsoever. So I'm actually going to put at a number 10 slot a game I didn't play. I'm going to put Just Cause 3 in there.
Yeah.
I am excited for this game. I wish I had played it. It looks awesome. It looks like so much fun. But it came at a time where I just got another bunch of other games and just couldn't fit it into my schedule. So Just Cause 3, I wish I had played you. You're on my list.
I accept that.
All right. Jeff, you want to go next?
Sure. My 10 was Until Dawn. Just because, I don't know, I like those types of, like, it's kind of like a Telltale type game, like, you know, story-driven. And it was like a slasher movie with some cool little twists in there. So, yeah, I liked it a lot. Enough to make top 10. Enough to knock out some other games that hung around all year.
What didn't make your what just
slipped out? I know Yoshi slipped out, and I had that like at one point in the year. I think it was in the top 6 or something. Forgot. I'd have to go. Well, actually, I have my list right here. What got knocked out? That was the big one, I think. Axiom Verge got knocked out.
All right. I will go next. My number 10 is Tales from the Borderlands. I think it might be Telltale's best game to date. I know Tony doesn't agree that they're games, but...
It's your own adventure, sort of.
Yeah.
Ish. Maybe. Unless you play a second time, and then you realize you weren't really choosing anything.
Don't worry about definitions. Just enjoy the experience, man.
It's a great time. I think the humor's spot on. It looks fantastic. Like, it still has that Telltale hitchiness, but the art style they have going on in that is fantastic. And it actually made me give a crap about the Borderlands universe. Because
that's quite a feat.
Yeah, the stories in Borderlands are not great, which is why this was a weird mashup. But it actually works out really well. It's a fun adventure game.
They'll do Minecraft. They'll do Borderlands. They'll do fucking Coffee Maker
2016.
Yeah, and it'll be a great story. They just know how to do that.
Don, what do you got?
Last minute I squeezed in WWE 2K16. So.
Last minute because
I've been playing it a lot.
I think you made the
and I really enjoy it
at the last minute.
no, I had most of my list made.
It's been like 2 hours. It's been 2 hours.
It's been a whole week in 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right, Fozzie.
Let's go with. I want to say Rise of the Tomb Raider.
10.
Yeah. Yes.
What the fuck? Oh wow.
Yeah.
I regret ever giving you any of those fucking Rocket League like things.
The betrayal has happened already. We haven't even gotten to the episode where we select the game of the year, and Fozzie's
already. You're lucky that
already, like, dude.
You're lucky it's we phased out. It came really close to being phased out.
Dude, the month of December is Fozzie stabbing you in the back every.
The only reason.
God,
it's not good.
Help you out. You watch Rocket League's not winning shit now, buddy.
Okay. Did you create the game? I don't understand why you're so hurt.
Angry.
That's way too fucking low.
Okay. Well, can I answer?
You can justify your spot there, Fozzie. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Okay, yeah, I don't have to, but I want Hefe to feel made a little better. And it was between this and Madden 16, because Madden 16 is actually a very good sports title this year, and it improved a lot of things. The reason it's so low and the reason it did beat Madden is simply because I haven't beaten the game yet, so I can't tell if it warrants something higher. If it stays the same it is, it probably wouldn't be in my top 10. So that's just the honest truth.
It's insane. All right.
It's not really. It's
what don't you like? I don't get it.
I don't like character development at all. It's not. Okay. And to me, like the tombs are still very much not a part of this game. It doesn't know if it wants to try to replicate Uncharted, but it doesn't do it that well, or if it wants to focus on tombs. And so the set pieces are there, but they're just not as memorable or exciting. So I'm sorry to break it to you, but she kind of reminds me of like Connor from Assassin's Creed 3. Just like not fun. Like, she's just boring. She's too serious all the fucking time. Like, with Nathan Drake, there's just something fun about like him as a character compared to the freaking Laura Croft. She's just character development just isn't there. So that's why it's number 10. So suck it.
I mean, Jeff, it made Fozzie's top 10.
It made his top 10. That's true.
I know, but like everything you just said, you might have just Might as well just take my heart out, fucking.
I mean, but every
ass, shit it back out, out fucking.
Makes you think a little bit.
Tony, what do you have at number 9?
Number 9, I have Galactic Civilizations 3. This game was up a lot higher on my list earlier in the year, but I think the poor launch kind of ruined some of my enthusiasm for it. Like, it's still really good. It's a really decent strategy game. It's really deep. There's a lot of content. I think the fact that I have the version that comes with all the DLC free has made it seem like there's more content for me. But very good game, very good strategy game. Not enough distance from Galactic Civilizations 2, though. I wish it were more unique. It feels like a slightly better version as opposed to a true sequel. It's still a really good game, but I just wish it were better. I guess it was good enough to be number 9 on my list. So that's
yeah. I mean, it didn't slip off for a game you didn't play, so...
Right.
Jeff, number 9.
Number 9 is Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. Possibly one of the most overlooked games of the year. I don't know why, like, Wii U or, like, Nintendo fans, like, don't talk about it. It's, like, a really good, like, really, like, challenging 2D platformer where you don't have direct control over Kirby. You have to draw lines for him. And, like, I did not expect much out of it at all, and it was fucking great. With, like, dude, like, really hard, like, last couple levels and really hard, like, really hard final boss. And once, like, I beat him, I felt, like, accomplished. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was really good, dude.
It looks really pretty, at least.
It and Yoshi. Although, like, Yoshi is way... Like, Yoshi is a pretty dull game when it comes down to it, and Kirby was fucking... really fun, so that's why it stayed on the list and Yoshi
disappeared.
Yeah.
My number 9 is Fallout 4.
That's
wow. It to me it's just more Fallout. Wow. I like wow. Just more Fallout. Like,
I hear you. I'm with you on that. It's just to me, like, more Fallout, like, would be way higher than that. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Chris is like more Fallout, and Jeff is like more Fallout.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's how I feel.
Like, they didn't have to do much with it for me. Like,
yeah. I mean, I get that from you guys. It's just.
I mean, to be fair, Chris, you're not really into the whole open world, do whatever you want.
Right. I need a little more direction. Which we'll get to that because I have some other open world games on my list, but.
Me too.
A little more direction on them. Don, what do you got?
Resident Evil Revelations 2.
Yuck.
Yuck. Really?
That's a good game.
That's a good game. What are you talking about?
That's a fun game.
Yeah.
You played it, Fozzie?
I played it with a friend of mine. It's really good, like co-op.
It's fun that way. I enjoy the what's the silly little mode you play, like I can't remember the name of it now.
Is it Mercenaries or
Mercenaries? Yeah, whatever that is. That game mode's fun too. Sure. Once I finally put online on it too, I went back and played it online with people, and it made it a little more fun. I didn't know anybody at the time playing it though, so I couldn't play it online with anybody. Chris, do you have that game?
Yeah. I played it. Yeah, it's good. I liked it. I like the episodic nature of it too. They nailed how episodic games should be.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Releasing
every week.
One week.
If anything, they should get honored for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
That was actually my favorite part of it, was how the and I forgot until Chris brought it up. But it was like every week was something.
You had something to
like
look forward
to. I enjoyed it. Every weekend, like I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna sit down. Like 2 hours of my time was to Revelations, and that was my weekend deal for the 4 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, that was great. That was an excellent way of releasing that stuff.
Yeah.
Fozzie, what do you got at 9?
Number 9. Well, I give a little Nintendo love to Hefe. Shout out. Super Mario Maker.
Fuck yeah.
Super Mario Maker is an interesting game because it's like, unlike Little Big Planet, it's you kind of always want to, okay, I'll build something, then I'll play something too. But I feel like Super Mario Maker, you almost have like two different crowds. Like, ones that will exclusively only play stuff and ones that build stuff. So, like, for me, like, it's really fun building. And on top of that, it's really fun watching people play. Like, I watch Patrick Kleptic?
Kleptic.
Yeah, Kleptic.
He does Super Mario Maker Mornings, and they're actually a lot of fun because he's really good at the game. He knows kind of like how to figure stuff out. So it's fascinating just to watch. And I feel just there is a lot more in this game than there is like in Little Big Planet, in my opinion. And it's just
it's way more accessible.
It's incredible. Way. Yeah, it's accessible and it's fairly easy to create a level if you want to. But there's a great like. There's a lot of like little things and kind of really fascinating ways that people have manipulated the levels, and it just like they all look great, and a lot of times like, man, these are great levels I wish Mario would kind of like be, you know. And so yeah, it's a game that I'm going to enjoy for years to come. Because again, like I can have, you know, my significant other or if, like one of my younger cousins comes over, whatever may be the case, like we can play this, and it's super easy, and it's fun for everyone. So, yeah, I had a good time with it this year.
Can you still – I know very little about the game other than sure. I really want to play it. But can you still play, like, what was the one on Wii U where you could play with four people?
Like Super Mario 3D Land?
New Super Mario Brothers U.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. Can I mean, you still play like that, where you can play with like two or three people?
I don't think so.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I was hoping it was the way you guys said it was, but I was
that
just
would
curious.
Be cool. Like, hopefully they make a sequel to it. Like they have like that option, maybe. That would actually be very interesting. I think that would be fun. Like, especially like with the 2-bit, you know, kind of, or like 2D. I mean, sorry. Like that type of. See like multiple Marios in there. I think that's something that would be intriguing.
I have questions about whether there will be a sequel because you need the gamepad to make that game, in my opinion. So, will the NX mimic the gamepad at all? You know what I'm you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
like what is next
that,
coming
yeah.
out? Yeah,
no, but I don't think that's necessarily true. I mean, people use the Little Big Planet, they use the controller, so why not?
Yeah, I would not want to design that way. I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know. We don't know what the NX is yet. So
yeah,
And the signs are pointing to it being like having a screen
of some sort. Yeah. Tony, what do you have at number 8?
I'm gonna do a shout out to Jeff too, and I'm gonna put Rise of the Tomb Raider at number 8.
Heyo.
God.
I like Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's obviously a very attractive game. I think it plays exactly the same as the last Tomb Raider game. I don't think there's enough difference there for me. And I think the plot is significantly worse. So it's an entertaining game to play, but I don't think it's as good as its predecessor. There are some extras that they've tossed in to kind of make the world broader, but I don't think they add any depth. They just kind of add extra stuff to the world. And the tombs are nice, but like Fozzie said, they're not really core to the gameplay. They're just kind of there. So it's a great game, but it's not like one of the best games.
It's more Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
it depends, I guess, how much you liked the reboot. I don't know. I'm like split on it. Like, it makes me mad that they didn't put more focus on the tombs, but I do think that they improved the game quite a bit, and it was a good game to begin with. So I don't know. Anyways, I'll shut up.
Well, Jeff, don't shut up because we need to hear your number 8.
My number 8 is Ori and the Blind Forest. It's one that like disappeared from my list for a while, and then I like thought about the game more, and I was like, that deserves to be there. It's like a really beautiful 2D platforming type game that really mimics Metroid a lot, where you have areas you can't get into until you find a power up, and then you have to backtrack. I just love that shit. You know, like Shadow Complex or whatever. Yeah. The only thing and it's really pretty. The only thing is, it's really hard at points. Like, there's these escape sequences that are just brutal. You can't make a mistake. But other than that, pretty amazing.
So what was the defining factor for you over? Because you said Axiom Verge slipped off your top 10. Similar type of Metroid type game, right? Like what made this kind of plop on?
Well, because Axiom Verge was like a straight tribute to Metroid. It was like essentially Super Metroid 2. You know what I mean? And this was something kind of its own thing and, like, really fucking pretty. It's like a modern-day version of what you would want out of a Metroid-type game, whereas Axiom Verge was just, it was Metroid.
Okay.
So, they're both great, but...
Cool.
That was my thinking on it.
My number eight is a game from January, Dying Light. Open world zombie game from Techland. I really enjoyed the motion in that game, the maneuverability, the kind of way of traversing the world there. Killing zombies is always fun, no matter where you're doing it. But being able to, like, you know, kind of do like open world parkour and do it pretty damn well was really, really cool. And I mean, I enjoyed this story for it. It just pulled me through. I really liked everything about it.
I'm kind of surprised it stuck around for you. I liked it as well.
I'm really looking forward to the expansion that's coming early next year. So
that's. I actually put that on a list of games that I forgot I played in 2015. I liked it though. It wasn't enough to hang around.
Don, what's your number eight?
Rise of the Tomb Raider. This is the one game I haven't played, but I put it where I put it for a reason. The first game I loved so much; it was my game of the year that year. But I also put it kind of low because A, I haven't played it, and B, I'm a little nervous because there was that whole Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3 thing, where I loved Uncharted 2 so much, and then I played Uncharted 3 and it sucked. So I'm a little nervous going into a sequel to a game that I enjoy so much. Anytime there's a sequel, I get a little nervous. But so
fair enough. Fozzy, what do you have at number eight?
I have Fallout 4.
I have something coming out.
Oh, Jesus.
Whoa. What else do you have? You have something coming out. What do you have coming out, Fozzy?
Listen, JJ, calm down. I have Fallout 4. Again, this kind of falls in the same thing as Tomb Raider, where I don't feel like I got enough time into it. It's good. You know, it's solid. I really like kind of like building the communities and kind of sim-esque feel to it, but maybe I just didn't get the story enough, whatever it may be, but I was unfortunately only able to put in like 10 hours or so. So, I mean, it's a game where it could be higher, it could be lower, in my opinion, but right now I'm feeling pretty solid at 8 for it, so.
All right. Tony, you're number 7.
Number 7. Number 7 is going to be a game that I initially hated, but played more and more and more of and liked it more and more. It's NBA 2K16. This year they took my favorite mode in the game, which is the My Career mode, and they added a Spike Lee joint to it, which was like I did not like that. It made you like sit through this movie that took a really long time, and there were cutscenes that were longer than you played in the game. It was awful. But once you get through that, you get back to the My Career mode, and they did some cool stuff this year with endorsements and sponsorships and being able to hang out with cool players. And they also added practice mode, which I don't think I've talked at all about. But you actually go through a practice and you play you do drills and you like shoot around, and it's not like a contrived mode like it's been in Madden, where they kind of just make you play the game, but in practice.
Right.
It's actual practice drills. And they make you do like agility drills and like jump on top of the trash can and that kind of stuff. So they added some really cool elements there.
The other Spike Lee story too, going through it.
The story was fine. You had to play it, and I'm sitting there and I want to play the game, and it was just like you play the game for 5 minutes and then you get this 30-minute cutscene, and then you play the game for 5 minutes and 3 minutes. It's just annoying.
Oh no.
Absurd. But once you get through that, you never see it again. So I was fine at that point. So great game once you get past a Spike Lee joint. Damn you, Spike Lee.
Jeff, you're number 7.
My number seven is Super Mario Maker. We kind of discussed this already, so I don't know. I don't really have much to add to it. I really like it.
All right.
Ew.
My number seven is Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm all right with being number seven. I could kill you for less, but it's okay.
It's just, like, I think it's really good, and I put 45 hours into it, so obviously it's right. A decent game. What drops it down on my list is, like, it's just not the Metal Gear that I kind of wanted. Like, I think it's really good, and I'm going to continue playing it. I still have so much of that game to play.
Yeah, have you not even beat it?
No.
So oh, my God. You need to beat it. The ending's good.
I have to confess, because it's on my list somewhere. I never beat it either. Like, I sold it, but I
you sold still... it before you beat it?
Yeah, like, but I just knew that, like, I was never going to get back to it.
You should watch the ending, then. I mean, obviously, you can't do it right now. You need to watch that.
I have a quick question. Is are there any, like, are there a lot of 20-minute long cutscenes? Like, what's the limit on the cutscenes?
Like, no cutscenes. Like, they're just the beginning of the game.
It's gameplay. Really. Mostly gameplay.
Okay. All right.
The first hour is, like, it feels like a big cutscene, but then after that, it's just, like, there's very little, like, and I love it.
I'm okay with giving it an hour. So, usually I'll give a game, like, 3 hours to suck me in, and doesn't suck me in at 3 hours and I'm done. But
I mean, you might. So. I'd say you have to invest at least 5 hours in this.
Yeah, game. I'd like, say at least 5.
Like, the first hour is traditional Metal Gear. It's what I expected out of it, and then, then it opens up into this open world. Kind of, you're in Afghanistan. Go do missions. Like, they give you, like, places to go and do
that
things.
Sounds fun.
And then it is really. It's just like the big draw. What kept me playing it is the ability to do whatever you wanted in those missions. The bigger problem, though, is that a lot of the missions kind of repeat themselves. Like, the story missions are all different, but you have a lot of these, like, same, like, go rescue this prisoner, or, you know, blow up this depot. And while you can approach them differently, it's a lot of the same stuff over and over again. Still fun. So Don, what is your number seven?
Number seven, I got Forza 6. Marked improvement over its predecessor. Racing was still good. Had nighttime racing in the rain. They awarded you cars at random intervals. That was a key to me liking it so much. Yeah, it's a good game. Solid.
Fozzy, number seven.
Just Cause 3. I only bought it
Yes.
I'm having a great time with it. I'm not gonna lie, like, it is, it's everything the 10-year-old in me loves in video games. Like, just going into towns and just, like, looking around and being like, oh fuck yeah, I'm going to fuck this place up. So, it's great. It's like you're almost bulletproof. Like, it's crazy how many bullets you can take. Essentially, the only way to die is if you die in a vehicle.
No, if someone's got a minigun on you or a helicopter, and you're just
sure, fine. But
yeah, you're right though. You're right.
Yeah, you're like a sponge. But the one of the things I find really fascinating is kind of like how you can get around and the different options you have with that. Mm-hmm. To me, like I've really enjoyed kind of learning to try and master the wingsuit, because it's actually not very. I mean, I'm not saying like it's super difficult, but there is definitely some learning curve as far as like knowing the right angle to use your grappling hook to keep that going. But it's so much fun because you just, you know, you're like just flying through the air, and then you're going over mountains and keep climbing the mountains with your wingsuit, but you're just using the grappling hook to...
Wait, hold up. You're using just the wingsuit?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could grapple with the wingsuit.
Oh, dude, yes. It's awesome.
Holy shit. I didn't even think to do that. I would always just switch to the parachute, and then I start grappling.
Just like I'm moving this up 2 spots in my list now.
And that's
changes everything.
I'm really good with using the parachute and the grapple together, and there's a learning curve for that, where if you don't spend the time to learn that, you're not going to enjoy the game as much. Because once you do, you can like just go anywhere, no problem.
It's yeah, you're about to have your mind blown, because you're going to get there like 5 times faster. So yeah, so the wingsuit's a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple things that really have just started to bother me. I'm about like 10-15 hours into the game. First off, like, the loading times are atrocious. Like, I know it's a big map, and it's great that it's, like, it's massive. It's huge. Like, you start out on this small island, and then you open up your map for the first time. You're like, holy crap, there's so much to explore.
And then you zoom out, and you're like, wait, holy shit, there's a lot to explore.
Yeah, yeah. There's just a ton. So it's the problem, though, is that, okay, let's say you're doing these side missions. You have to reload it every time, and it takes like a minute to load in. It's really slow. So, like, the loading times are bad. I think that was the main complaint of a lot of people too. But they've always been kind of bad with Just Cause games. And then also, it can get a little repetitive, especially when it's like, you know, you kind of already have like end game stuff pretty much like towards the beginning. Like, you know, you want to get a helicopter. And you want to blow everything up, but you know, there's enough there as far as upgrades where it can definitely change around. But the fact remains is that you know what you're getting. You're getting like this like action flick in a console game, and it's just super fun. And again, like Tony, like you saw me like when I did like the like not looking back at explosion. Like yeah. I put the explosives there, then I turn around, and then I do it. So it's like again, like it's pure fun. It doesn't try to be anything. The story is like the most typical story you can ever think of, and so I mean, it's not trying to be anything that it is and is, and all it is a great action video game.
There'll be times too when you're just kind of fuck around and not even think about it, and you'll be like, dude, that would be an awesome scene in an action movie. Like, it happens organically. Yeah. It's not a scripted scene, you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially when there's all those fuel tanks like right next to each other. I'm just like, fuck.
Oh man,
and destroy all of this all at once.
I don't get why people like don't like Just Cause. Like, I get the first one, but 2 and 3, they're like amazing, dude. They're so fun.
Yeah, yeah. 3 is really fun, especially the multiplayer on the PC is really good.
How about the fucking water? Do you agree with me that the water is like fucking amazing looking in it? Yeah,
it's fantastic. And even if you're close enough, you can even like use the grappling hook on the reef. Like, so I'm just gliding on the water with my wingsuit, just like, oh man, it's so cool. It's so much fun.
Tony, what's your number 6?
Number 6. This game is sublime. I think we all remember the SimCity debacle from a couple years ago, where that game was.
Oh, I know what's coming.
Awful at launch, and the cities you could build were really small. So, we finally got the SimCity game we deserve in Cities Skylines. Which I thought was outstanding. A really sublime game. Really, really fun to play. The one thing it does lack is it lacks like a campaign mode. It could really use that, I think, to give it some structure. But other than that, there's so much content and so much to build in that game. And the fact that they made it so easy to play meant that instead of like battling the game systems, you can pretty much build whatever city you want. It just takes some time for it to grow. So a lot of fun to play. I know I built some really cool cities, and I had a lot of fun with this game. So.
I'm looking forward to that one coming next year to Xbox One.
The Xbox One.
Yeah, me too.
It's a really good game. So.
Yeah.
You guys will enjoy that.
Jeff?
My number 6 is Halo 5. It's good. It's more Halo.
Right.
Parts of the campaign pissed me off.
Might want to save which parts for a little bit later.
Yeah,
I'm sure like we're gonna talk about Halo.
I like the slam, like the what's the running slam mechanic called?
The Spartan charge.
Spartan.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. So, I don't know. A long time I thought it was gonna be my top 5, but it got edged out by stuff I found more inspired or whatever. It was just more Halo.
Cool. My number 6 is Until Dawn.
Nice.
But went in not really knowing what to expect and came out thinking they did a really good job with taking kind of the Telltale adventure model and making it into a kind of like a big budget B-grade horror film with real actors and solid writing and actually decisions that actually did impact the game. Like, you were doing things and you would make choices, and they actually did impact the game, unlike, you know, some of the Telltale stuff, which is why this edges out, you know, significantly Tales of the Borderlands for me. So
nice.
Don, you're number six.
Elder Scrolls Online, Tamriel Unlimited. Game is it's become a staple of my weekly. It's my Sunday morning. Me and a buddy get up at like 6 a.m. and we play for a couple hours. And I mean, it's always a good time. It was fun up until level 15. I think at that point, that's whenever I got hooked, and I've loved the game ever since. So we've beat the main story probably a couple weeks ago. I only play once a week, so I'm finally moving on to some of the other areas, exploring those, and it's a good time to explore. I mean, it's not as rich as Skyrim or Fallout or something like that, but it's still a good time to explore.
That's cool.
The waking up at 6 a.m. to play a video game would ruin
it. Sounds...
Well, I get up. I get up.
Yeah,
at 6
get up every day,
not to ruin my routine. So I try not to sleep in. So it's kind of nice. He gets up at the same time anyway. So we that just became our bonding Sunday morning thing. So
nice.
Cool.
Fozzie, what do you got at number six?
Keep Talking, No One Explodes. I think Ari went over this pretty extensively. If you haven't bought it yet, you're a damn fool. It's like $20, maybe even $15 now. I don't know. Super cheap, fun game. You have at least one other person to play with. I'm sure you can round someone up and play with them.
All right.
Well, you'll have to.
I'll have to get over that.
Yes.
Tony, what do you have at number five?
Number five. So they've been incrementally making Madden better over the past couple years. And I was kind of wondering what you could do to make it even better. And they discovered something interesting for Madden NFL 16.
Guns.
They added Borderlands to it. They're like, okay, now your players are going to have like missions and they're going to get experience. And as you're playing through your franchise mode, it's going to pop up right on the screen. And this makes the game insanely addictive.
It does.
Not only is it the best Madden ever, but they made it more addictive than ever. So I'm going with Madden NFL 16. Great game.
I can't wait till that game comes to EA Access. We're all going to have to start a league on that one and actually, you know, play.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to 15. Like, it will not even go... nothing. Can't.
Yeah, I think it broke on yours, right?
Yeah, I can't get past the intro screen.
Wonderful.
Just press A to start.
I know Madden supports their iterations for a really long time after the new one comes out.
Jeff, you're number five.
My number five is Just Cause 3. Yes, it's a silly action game. We talked about it. But it's so fun, it cracks the top five
with really good water.
Oh, God. Just the movement of
the best
water.
Oh.
The best water.
Motion of the ocean. Oh, my God.
All right. My number five is Rise of the Tomb Raider. I think we've talked about it a bunch. But I really like Rise of the Tomb Raider. It is more Tomb Raider, but I still really enjoy that formula, and I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Don, number five?
Past self would have slapped me for this one about 5 years ago, but I'm going to go with Halo 5.
Halo!
I have a blast playing it. Like, the requisition system is... what kind of gets me, like, I enjoy the random loot. That's a driving force to me. That's an easy way to get me interested in the game. And then, of course, you know, we play probably about once a week or so, and together as a group, a couple of us at least, two to four, depending on who's on. And then that's always a great time. And then the weekend playlist, too, how it changes every week. It's an interesting... I don't know if they've done that in the past or not, but I really like that.
Yeah, they've always had weekend playlists. Yeah. I like that they just implemented a basically for playing and winning a daily like a win bonus. So like you'll get a rec pack for winning in Warzone and winning in Arena, which gives you a reason to come back daily. Like past Halos had like challenges and stuff, which I always found awesome. I wish they would implement that as well, but this is a nice little incentive to touch it every day.
Yep. It's a good time though.
Fozzy, it's your number five.
Man, this is kind of toss up between 4 and 5. I will say it is Destiny. Fuck, you guys know that I hated Destiny. I hated disappointment. I hated Destiny. I hated everything about Destiny. And I just thought it was kind of hot garbage, and I couldn't believe that people played it. Then Year 2 came out. And I'm kind of hooked. Keep in mind, I haven't played it in a week or so, but again, like, I really enjoyed, like, now, like, the levels actually feel like you're a pretty high level now. You feel like the story's better actually now with it, and I don't know, the just as far as what they've added, the new content, it's not like it's a completely different new game, but you know, they were missing the MMO side, and I think they've kind of nailed it a little bit better this time around. Like, you know, they didn't really have the story. Like, they had the gameplay. They had the first-person shooter down. And they still have that down. So now they've kind of brought that. They brought what we wanted from the first go-around, and they kind of brought that up to speed. So, again, I understand why people would be hesitant to jump into it now, but if you only played that first, like, month or so, it's a completely different game. As far as the story goes and all that other good stuff, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tony, you're number four.
Number four. Well, I got to go with a game we've talked about several times already, Halo 5 Guardians. I like Halo. We all like Halo. And, you know, it's fun Breakout. That we all like Halo. Breakout's fine. It's fine. We'll call it Jeff mode.
Jeff mode.
And Warzone is fine too. I'm not in love with it, but Arena's great, and I like the campaign, although it kind of fizzles out near the end. But Halo's always great, and this is the best Halo in a while, so Halo.
Halo. Jeff?
My number four is Splatoon. I know you guys all fucking hate fun.
You're a kid. Jeff's kind of fun.
I stand by the fact that it is an original idea in a fucking marketplace that hasn't had one in a while, and it is really fun multiplayer that is inclusive for people that like normally might not enjoy playing an online shooter. So yeah, I think it deserves its spot.
All right, we'll let you have it on your list.
Thank you.
No, it's banned.
No, Jeff, take it back.
Pick a different game.
My number four is Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Now I wish I played it.
Wow.
I really, really like it a lot. The dual protagonist is interesting. Evie and Jacob both play differently. There's not as much shit on the map as... I don't know if you guys looked at the map of Unity, like, after you sync. There's just shit everywhere.
There's too much stuff on it.
Yeah, like, all that stuff is still there, but it's not, like, trying to give you a seizure... pointing it out to you anymore. It's there for you to go do, but they kind of focus you in on the quest, and it's more open than it has been too, where now there's these districts in London, and you're going and doing like a few different missions in each one, and it opens up portions of that, so you're unlocking neighborhoods and capturing them and keeping everything intact, and then to take over like the big gang, like do your gang war against the other Templar group or whatever, and they're all unique in how you handle it, and it's just a ton of fun. Like, it's like I really liked Unity after it got fixed. This is kind of like a nice return to form, but also pushing it forward as well. And you know, it does some of the. I know you guys hate the modern day shit, but they're telling a bit of that story as well. At least making it count as opposed to Rogue and Black Flag and Unity, which was kind of, you know, theirs lip service. Don, what do you got?
The Witcher 3.
Witcher 3.
Witcher 3. Strong narrative. Rich. One of the like most rich open worlds that I've played, where, you know, everything out in the wilderness like just feels alive. But it's such a good game.
Can't argue with that.
I'm getting tired, so I don't have a whole lot in me after that.
Give Don another beer. He'll be back away. He's sober.
Oh, wait, I'm sober.
Fozzie, what do you got at number four?
I have Halo 5. Kind of what everyone's already kind of said. It's more Halo, but I feel like the gameplay changes brought it up a little more up to speed with the other first-person shooters, so that was a good addition.
Sure. Tony, number three?
Number three is the most Tony game of 2015, Total War Attila.
Ew.
You know I love a good Total War game. This game was significantly better than its predecessor. I was actually a little surprised by how good it was because I was not all that thrilled with Total War Rome 2. But this game took an enhanced version of that game's engine and just blew what that earlier game had done away. The campaign is more interesting than any Total War campaign in maybe a decade. So I had a lot of fun playing through this game. And there's a lot of extra content now and some additional campaigns that do some things that Total War games have never done before, like a story-based mode following the campaigns of Justinian. So some really cool stuff that they've done with the new Total War game. So Total War Attila, great game.
Nice. Jeff, are you back?
Yes.
What is your number three?
My number three, okay, never in a million years would I have imagined this would be on my list, and that's Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain.
Whoa.
Wow, nice.
Not a fan of the series or whatever, but once it finally clicked with me with this one, like, it's almost hard not to appreciate the game if you give it a chance. Like the ridiculousness of it, and most of all, like, the open-ended approach to the gameplay, where, like, if you could think of a way to do something, it's possible you might be able to do it in the game. Like, that feels like something I have not really played much of before. Maybe it's because I haven't played that series much, but, like, I don't know. I think it just nails that, like, you do whatever approach you want. Never beat it, but that's okay. It's still, like, definitely stood out for me.
Nice. My number three is Guitar Hero Live.
Boom.
I was, I enjoy Rock Band, Guitar Hero, but I really, really enjoyed Guitar Hero Live a ton. To the point when I think I have like 3 days worth of playing into it.
Nice.
Like, in terms of hours?
Yeah, on the Xbox. Yeah. it's really good, and I love their new system for, like, there's the campaign, and, like, that's cool, goofy, the first-person stuff, but once you go to the actual Guitar Hero Live portion, which is, like, the rotating songs, like, you don't actually choose the song you want to play. It's kind of like MTV, but you're playing along. The competitive nature of it, like, I love seeing my name go up the list there to go into, like, you know, the top 2, 3, sometimes in top 1. It's a blast. I really, really enjoy it.
You know what's funny is I heard someone criticize that mode as being, like, this gross microtransaction-y type mode or whatever. I was just like, I don't know. That sounds, like, really cool to me.
Like, I mean, it can be if what you're looking for is, like, you want to play X song, like, or
Yeah, but whatever. then play the regular game and play whatever songs that are on there. Like, you know,
right. Like there's 42 songs there.
They're giving you free songs, dude. Like, what are you bitching about? Like,
right.
I don't get
like yeah. and you earn credits. You earn enough credits that you can buy the plays to actually, if you want to just play individually.
Oh, really? Cool.
Like I haven't had to buy anything in that entire time with the money. So there's a cool progression system that you basically unlock, like, you know, score power ups and stuff, or like score modifiers, and so you're continuously increasing how well you do in the songs, and it's a ton of fun. I love it.
I am getting it for Christmas, and I'm excited as fuck. Like, I'm
yeah,
super
it's on
excited.
my wish list.
The other thing about it was like I love Rock Band, but this was different. Like, I felt like I was learning something new, like learning how to play it again. It was almost like that first time you played Guitar Hero when you're like, you know, trying to figure out the buttons
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that was cool. Like, you know, going back and learning how to play that
being
all
terrible.
Over again. Yeah, like at the start and now being pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I never get to that part, but
I mean, good enough that like you don't feel like a total fuck up. Like,
yeah. No, I know.
Don, what do you got at number three?
Number three, I got Destiny the Taken King. The, you know, Fozzy hit it right on the head. I mean, it's a world of difference compared to last year. And I liked last year, don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed, I mean, that was my game of the year last year. But they really took it and reworked it into something that was just better. Even the level design of the, me and Chris kind of touched on this a long time ago, but when it came out, but the level design itself, like the levels are just more fun and they feel more creative. Yeah. So the enemies are far better. The raid was better than the last raid too. I'm still not big on the whole raid deal, but I went through it once and it was all right. It was, like I said, better than Crota, but still nothing that I would play all the time. The new multiplayer maps are a blast too, and I like multiplayer in Destiny, so it's a good time. But anyway, yeah, number three, Destiny. Taking
cool. Fozzie, what do you got at number three?
Witcher. This is a game I wish I played more of. I felt that I was getting really into the game, like super into it, and then Metal Gear came out and kind of took up the rest of my time at that span. Yeah, it's you guys kind of already discussed this, but as far as like a really good story, voice acting's incredible. It feels like it's actually, I guess, you know, the first and second one, the fighting felt a little too, I don't know, it was a little too difficult at times, but it wasn't like fun like Dark Souls. It just was like kind of like technical and boring. But with this one, you do kind of get more of a, like a, okay, I'm going to go in for a hit, I'm going to come back out, and then, because I'm playing on not the hardest difficulty, but the second hardest, so, I mean, you have to kind of play a little bit conservative, but it still makes it fun, because it's just, it doesn't seem, I don't know, as difficult as Witcher 2 may have been, so it hits a kind of a sweet spot for that, again, massive open spaces, just gorgeous all around game. Not many hiccups I had with it, so just overall, just a solid gaming experience. I probably am definitely going to go back into this soon, very soon, probably, and try and finish that.
Cool. And then there's like two expansions coming.
Yeah, right. They're massive.
You'll never be finished.
No, Witcher 3 is a never-ending game. Much like Fallout, you just never, sure. never ends.
Right.
Tony, what do you have at number two?
Number two. What do I have at number two? I've forgotten by now. Look. Number two, Fallout 4. I love Fallout. Huge world. So much to do. I think the most interesting thing about it for me this time around was something that I wasn't expecting to be interested in, but I've found myself spending a lot of time building settlements and, like, crafting stuff. They made it really deep, and they made it, there's just so much to do and build, and I like adjusting all my supply lines between my settlements. I have so much fun with it. I didn't get over involved in, or I haven't gotten over involved because I'm not nearly done with the game. With the quests, like there are some interesting quests in a lot of different factions. But I think just going in and like now you can strip stuff for parts. It feels more Fallout-ish. It feels like a game should feel when you're in that kind of world where everything's been destroyed and you need to figure out how to survive and you're like, what can I do with this thing now? And they give you reasons to pick up, you know, fan blades now and
duct tape.
All the random crap that God, was just sitting around in the old Fallout games is now useful. And not just useful, but critical. And you go and you're like wandering around looking for an alarm clock or a board game that happens to have radioactive material in it or whatever. So I really like Fallout. I think it's a great game. So, number two.
All right, Jeff, what do you got at number two?
I have, wait for it, Fallout 4. all the reasons Tony said, like, I agree with the things Tony said. And I did like the story. I thought it could have been better, but I did like the story. And it's more Fallout, dude. Like, I don't know. Like, Fallout's probably my favorite RPG, honestly. So, like, I just get wrapped up in that world. Like, it's one of the ones where I actually pay attention to a story. So, I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Fallout 4. My number two is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
There you go.
I mean, we've talked a bit about it already. I'm about actually 50 hours in now, and the story is just continuing to pull me through, reeling me in. I like the combat. I like that, you know, the open world is there and you can kind of just go off if you want, but that main quest is a driving force for me and it keeps me kind of going, and I enjoy it. Like, there's something there. But the way it's structured is also not, oh shit, if I don't do this right now, the world's over. Like, so many, like, Mass Effect, you know, like, you go, it's like, the world's fucking ending. The entire universe is going to blow up. I should be doing this quest, but, you know, they have me delivering crap between stores on the Citadel or whatever. Like, in this, it's like, all right, like, it's kind of this mystery that's unraveling as I progress. And actually, where I'm at now, it's more kind of bang, bang, bang. But for that big, you know, first 40 hours of the game, it was like, all right, I can meander here. I can go off and do a side quest, and it's all fun. I really like it. Don, what do you got at number two?
I got Rainbow Six Siege.
Whoa.
Oh.
Whoa. Yeah.
I know.
Shame.
The most Dom game. Don game.
Shame.
That's it. No, that's, I mean, it's it. It hit Hawk that. What?
That'd be like me putting Tony Hawk on the list.
No, because this is actually a good game.
All right. you say so.
But no, it hits everything that I wanted about it. I was a little skeptical at the beta, so it dropped a little on my list. And then after playing the full game and getting all my buddies in there, and it's a good time. Like, it's the closest thing that I've found to SOCOM. I mentioned that in the last podcast. That's one of my favorite all-time games. Definitely one of my favorite multiplayer games.
You're SOCOM, man.
That's what's wrong with me. I know. But
okay.
Yeah.
Fazi, cool. What do you have at number two?
Two words. League of Rockets. No.
That's three words.
Yeah. How now?
Damn it, Fozzie, you ruined it. Okay, pick a different game.
Rocket League. Again, I don't need to go too much into it. It's just, it's a whole bunch of fun. I've played almost 200 games. I just looked at my stats, and while we were podcasting, I just platinumed the game too. So it's officially my first platinum. So that's
nice
thing about how much I love this game. I mean, nothing else will then. It's a great amount of fun, and you actually do feel like you're getting better with skill as you're progressing. I'm still learning new things, even 200 games in. So, yeah.
Really looking forward to playing that in February.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Cool.
Might have a new game for all of us to play then.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's true.
Tony.
My number one game?
Yep.
Well, we've talked about it several times. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Whoa.
I'm surprised.
Oh, nothing.
That's been number one on my list all year long, and it's still at number one. Great big beautiful world, tons of content, but unlike a lot of other open world games, not content for content's sake, like actually fun things to do that make sense within the world and have a backstory. It's not all fetch quests. It's like getting involved in actual real world situations that feel like you should be involved in, like mysteries and all kinds of different scenarios. So I think it's a great game that's designed well in almost, well, I shouldn't say almost. I think it's designed well in every aspect. I think the combat is fantastic. The storytelling is out of this world. And, of course, that big, beautiful open world. Fantastic in every way.
Jeff, what do you have at number one?
My number one is Rise of the Tomb Raider. To me, that is the most Jeff game of the year. It's just the type of game that I like. It might sound stupid, but it's like the closest to a Zelda game I got this year. Because I just like puzzles, and I like games that are like 3D adventure games, you know. And that has that, you know, it has a lot of action too, and I like the action. But you know, when you get to the puzzles and stuff, granted they're only like these like 9 tombs, and they're only like one room big, but like the puzzles in them are, I think, really clever. Like you feel smart when you beat them, and it's a beautiful looking game, and you know, the action and the combat's fun too. So I don't know. It was definitely my favorite game of the year. It's not even like close. So
all right.
So we have to crown it. We have to crown it game of the year.
We just crowned it Jeff's game of the year.
Hey-o.
All right.
Yay.
It wins, Jeff.
All right. I go to sleep now?
Yeah. Mine is Halo 5. I bounced back and forth with this and The Witcher, but I am fully obsessed with Halo 5's arena, and I mean, I put about 300 matches in already, so...
Jesus!
Wow. I play a lot of arena, and I'm actually starting to get into Warzone now. Now, two months later, like it's like,
yeah,
hey, this is actually fun. Pretty good.
Like, especially when you get a lot of nice rare cards built up, and you go in there and just start unloading like crazy. Like I had some shotgun I got today, and whenever I actually got to use it, dude, that thing was a beast. I got like 6 or 7 Spartan kills before I ended up dying.
I mean, the campaign, it's probably not the strongest Halo campaign, but I think in terms of multiplayer, like it is the best Halo multiplayer in quite some time. I really like it. I mean, I'm sure we'll be talking about it in a little bit. So, yeah. Don,
Fallout 4. It's more Fallout with a lot of and just like Tony said, the crafting deal, like the building settlements and stuff. Like I don't build a lot of settlements, but the one that I've built, like I enjoy adding on to that and growing it. Whenever I saw that at the E3 thing, I was like, that's kind of dumb. I'm not into that. But outside of that, it's just exploring, man. Like I haven't even been to Diamond City yet. I'm still just running around everywhere else. I mean, every time I turn around, there's something new. It's like, ooh, what's that over there? So it's such a good game.
I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit more about Fallout 4 very shortly too. Fozzie,
next week.
Next week.
Well, I think you guys know which one this is. Metal Gear Solid 5.
I'm shocked.
I like this. I actually like this. Like, because... I see alliance forming until I stab you in the back in the next episode. Just wait.
You won't be awake. You're gonna fall.
I can never trust anyone on anything. Not after like 3 years ago when you betrayed.
You betrayed each other every year. Without clockwork. I don't understand why you look to each other for alliances anymore.
I
always stick to the plan.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Jeff's plan is to betray you.
Yeah. Solve five. We will never know everything behind these doors, right? There's a lot of weird ass things that happen with this game. But Chris wanted more Metal Gear Solid, and I can understand that. I respect it. And I feel like maybe there was at one point that would be that game with this gameplay. And that's the thing, is this gameplay is the best Metal Gear gameplay ever. And I want to say it's the best stealth video game I've ever played in my life. And so, and being a fan of stealth games, it has to be up there for me. I feel like if it had the more Metal Gear antics and like the goodness that I love about Metal Gear, this would be one of my all-time favorite games of all time. That being said, sorry, I was being redundant there, but that being said, I think it's still my game of the year. So it might not be my favorite of all time, but it is my favorite this year. That's all I can say about that.
Well, those are our top tens. There's some stuff there to discuss in the next episode. So,
oh, yeah.
And we'll be back then.